To know that there is no understanding of reality right now is the step to develop it, to know. Otherwise, we think that we know. So no development of understanding reality right now at all. Instead of thinking of how much we have accumulated wrong view and ignorance, when there is no seeing, how can we know how much there is ignorance about it?
Maybe that's also a distraction from knowing the moment, is thinking about how much understanding we've got and how much more we should have.
Or even to think about
how wrong other people's understanding is. But at that moment, we're just thinking about the other person.
Thinking about the others not understanding our own ignorance at that moment.
Beverly, you said you had some questions too.
Well, yeah, we tried to form a discussion group back in the States and invited people to come. And we were using Abhidhamma and daily life as a foundation, because people in the States, at least the ones we met, have heard about Buddhism but really don't know about Abhidhamma. And we thought there would be something we could start. And when we were coming here, Tom mentioned that we were coming and asked if anybody wanted to pose questions to you, to the group. And so we do have some. At least one person responded, this gentleman. I'll just read what he says. I keep coming back to two questions I have asked before, but I guess I haven't internalized the answers. I have been reading Abhidhamma in Daily Life, as well as two other books on Buddhism, one by Stephen Batchelor, the other by a Thai nun, Upasikakinanayon. I probably pronounced it wrongly. The Unentangled Knowing. Both books have a radically different approach to Buddhism than the Abhidhamma and Daily Life, and this leads me to my questions. It seems that the idea of rebirth is so basic to Buddhism that without it, Buddhism becomes meaningless, unless you are just interested in improving your life by living by the precepts. Can you be a Buddhist without believing in rebirth? I guess that's his question. That's his first question.
Anyone who'd like to answer?
I think it's because some teachers, like Stephen Batchelor, some modern Buddhist teachers teach that there is no rebirth. But I think that if there's an understanding of this moment and how after this moment there must be another moment, one begins to appreciate how it must always be like this, and at the end of this life, the last citta must condition the next citta. So when one appreciates more about present moment, I think one has less and less doubt about rebirth.
Maybe another term should be used, because rebirth kind of implies, again, a person, and it doesn't help in the understanding of anatta.
Ajahn talks about the worlds, the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching worlds that arise and fall away. Yeah. So actually, when a moment of seeing arises, it's a world. And it falls away, completely gone. Then another world arises. So, as Sarah was saying, when we see it as moments that are actually completely falling away, then we can see that one citta conditions the next citta, which conditions the next, so that at the moment of death, that's just a body dying. But the citta goes on. It conditions the next citta.
Next citta, the next world. Continuous.
His question is, can you be a Buddhist without believing in rebirth?
Yes, but what is a Buddhist? Otherwise, we just want to be called or not to be called. But what really is a Buddhist? It's not just a name or just thing that we understand when someone tells us about the rebirth and things like that, but no understanding at all. What is a Buddha and what is his teachings about?
When thinking about the death of the person, that is usually what we mean by rebirth, at the end of life. When we consider it in that way, there is no insight into the nature of this moment.
And when there is no understanding of reality right now, can we understand what is meant by rebirth? What was born? What is born? See? No understanding at all. And Buddha didn't teach anyone not to understand anything.
So could we say that it's not about belief, but about understanding?
Yes. Understanding.
Yeah, again, rebirth is a term that doesn't lead to understanding.
Ajahn Sitchin said, first of all, we have to describe what is meant by a Buddhist.
So why don't we tackle the problem to understand reality right now, to have understanding of reality right now.
conception.
Not just being called a Buddhist and no understanding of anything at all.
So I think that shows the difference in one's life after life after life of hearing Dhamma.
In order to be a Buddhist, why do we have to start with rebirth? What about now?
Yes. I think his question is, can one have an interest in studying Dhamma without having a positive belief about rebirth? Unless, his question might be, can one have an interest in Dhamma and have a positive belief there is no rebirth? Uh-huh. Because I see a difference between not being sure whether there's rebirth or not and holding a belief that there is no rebirth. If it's not being sure, then I think the answer is, of course, anyone can have an interest in Dhamma and learn about the reality of the present moment and the development of understanding.
And what's the meaning of rebirth? What does it mean, rebirth?
Well, I also think he gets hung up on the planes of existence, the various planes of existence. Yeah. And that gets...
Same person, same personality.
Achan, wouldn't the real understanding about rebirth come with the vipassana jhanas?
I think that we have to know what rebirth means first, because the Mahayana thinks differently.
Yes, they believe in reincarnation. Uh-huh.
So if there is no understanding of reality right now, it's impossible to understand whether there is rebirth or not, and what is rebirth.
So, Achan, could you expand on what is rebirth?
If there is the understanding of reality right now. Otherwise, it's just the word, what was born, human being. For example, if there is no understanding of the succession of the nama, the citta, and cetasika right now, how can anyone understand rebirth?
Buddhist soul awareness, I'm reading here, as the key to eliminating suffering. Most Buddhist practitioners try to develop this through meditation and developing the unentangled knowing. The study of the Abhidhamma is the antithesis of this approach. It seems to me that the Abhidhamma is probably much more insightful once one is well along the path. Isn't meditation a necessary part of developing awareness? I think we've touched this question several times.
Several.
Yeah. With understanding or without understanding at all? For example, the meaning of meditation and the other word?
Awareness.
Awareness, see?
The Buddha soul.
Soul awareness as the key to eliminating suffering.
When he mentions meditation as a first step, what do you understand, or what does he understand by meditation, and what do the teachings refer to as being meditation? Because in Pali, bhavana, there are two kinds of bhavana, samatha and vipassana, but both have to be with understanding and awareness. So again, it comes back to this moment.
Each word should be clear comprehended. For example, suffering, see? What is it? Right now? Or when? Or what? Suffering. I think that they keep on talking or reading about something that they don't understand. And they think that they understand. Meditation and suffering and Paramattha Dhamma or Absolute Reality.
Yes, the problem is that they think they already know what it is.
And if we get right back to the fact there is no control, what is meditation in that sense? Can you meditate if there's no one who can meditate?
And what's the purpose of meditating?
Well, depending on the kind of meditation, when somebody does meditation, there will be an effect. It may not be the effect you want, but
and
there will.
And what's the purpose?
And what's the purpose, yeah.
And there are 101 ideas about meditation.
I think that if we try to come together and talk about reality to understand Paramattha Dhamma, it's the way leading to development of understanding realities. Otherwise, we just pick up the word and take it as we think, but actually we don't know what it really means.
That's the way the whole world is. I mean, we all start that way. Mm-hmm. Just thinking we already know what is meditation. We have an idea, a story of what needs to be done, and that's it. We call that meditation, we do it.
You know, the Buddha talked about going to a tree and setting up mindfulness. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that one has to actually do something in the sense of one sets up the mindfulness, but it can be a condition for mindfulness to arise by going to a place like that. So it's just conditioned.
And to whom did he speak to?
People who have had great understanding.
Monk? Or
monks?
Yeah, people.
Monks.
See?
People who lived by the trees or in the forest.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it is not just someone who had great understanding, it has to be monks with great understanding.
Well, yes, but it's also those people who were not doing anything in their life, in the sense, didn't have wealthy things to do, most likely did go to sit under trees during the day. And then it naturally could be a condition for setting up of mindfulness.
Like now?
Sitting under the tree.
Oh, yeah, hello.
There we go. But often people also look at the Buddha's life and they see that he meditated under two great teachers.
But we don't have intention to come to forest like this.
Right.
Just come together. Right. That's all.
As you said, it depends what people mean by meditating.
Right.
I mean, I could quite honestly say that in a sense we are meditating as we sit under this tree and talk and think. We are meditating about the Dharma. So
even Dharma, people have different ideas.
You have to look, I think, at what is meant by bhavana and what is dharma and these terms.
I mean, the Buddha was. He spent a lot of time talking to people about dharma. He didn't say to them, well, let's sit down and meditate now. He always spoke about the dharma to people at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as I can see, the important thing was having understanding.
And what about the meditation and the development of understanding realities?
Yes, I think that's important too, because the questioner brought up awareness. A lot of people have this idea that all you have to do is just to observe, to see. But I think it's all about developing understanding, which in the beginning does not involve really seeing things, but understanding intellectually. And that grows to experience, the patipatti.
Ajahn, you mentioned getting together and discussing like we are now, and I think you would say that has to be repeatedly, because one cannot just hear once and understand. Is that right?
We have different understandings, so if we share, it's better than just think alone. The more one hears, the more one understands, I think.
And also I think that we can say the more we hear, the more we appreciate the value of the details, not just seeing an invisible object, but more and more precise details. Usually we say that whatever we read in the Tipitaka is about Satipatthana, about Paramattha Dharmas. And sometimes when we're talking about different kinds of sampajanya, like maybe not overeating or maybe even staying away from things that condition problems or keeping good health, that these are aspects of Sapaya or Sataka Sampajanya. And in this context, sometimes you say, well, the Buddha taught people from the very beginning, like advising people not to overeat, for example. But other times we say, oh, whatever we read is about Satipatthana.
Anything can be Satipatthana, object of awareness.
Yes.
Anytime.
Anytime. Yes, any objects.
Anything.
So when you say, or when we read that the Buddha is teaching people from the very beginning, not yet about Satipatthana, but for example, just advising against not overeating or keeping one's place clean and swept or something like this.
Like housewife?
Like housewife. Like keeping things.
So we have to understand that. Since the Buddha's teachings, it has to be different from other teachings, not just housewife.
It has to be with understanding or with understanding of the value of like not overeating, having less attachment or something like this. Before you've said not necessarily Satipatthana, maybe just teaching people from the beginning. So how is it from the beginning if it's not Satipatthana?
If the person cannot understand Satipatthana yet, what shall we do? Talking about Satipatthana or what?
Just talking about different kinds of kusala, perhaps?
Or realities according to their ability to get the teachings.
And also usually when we talk about Sati Sampajanya, we're talking about the right understanding that accompanies the development of either Samatha or Satipatthana. But then when we talk about, for example, what is suitable, Sabhaya Sampajanya or Sataka Sampajanya,
it doesn't seem to be the right understanding of Satipatthana at that moment.
Why not? It depends. Because one lives with right understanding, with right awareness, or without right awareness,
yes,
depending on conditions. So one can understand one's accumulation better and better. For example, the sampajanya of eating, what do you call it?
In moderation.
Yeah. Without right understanding, one knows that it's overmuch or less, yes, according to one's consideration. But when there is satipatthana, one can know why one has less and less attachment, not to oneself to have good health, but to know that it's lobha which condition the eating that way.
Moderation, eating less, in case of someone who does not understand Dhamma, is not moderation.
By oneself, by clinging to the body or to the self, my body.
So the Panya, which sees the benefit of having less attachment to eating, it seems just like a conceptual understanding, but also you're referring to direct understanding of the attachment.
And according to one's accumulation too. Even there is Panya, but it depends on whose Panya, Sotapanna.
Or what level, yeah, yes. And whether it is the detachment from the idea of self, or whether it's
Mohiri and Otapa.
Mohiri and Otapa.
Okay.
Or whether it's just a kind of wise reflection or samatha.
Anything can arise by conditions.
The same teachings can be heard by different people with different levels of understanding.
So when it's referring, for example, on the Satipatthana Sutta, and we're reading about the different kinds of sampajanya, not just the moha sampajanya like sabaya sampajanya, that it must be, because it's in the context of satipatthana, so it's knowing what is suitable in terms of climate or food or health, but with understanding of realities at those moments.
When it's under one subject, it includes everything on every level too. For example, talking just about samadhi, it covers all kinds of samadhi. Not just see?
Because if it's a moha sampajanya, it must be referring to any reality. But if it's talking about the other kinds of sampajanya, it's referring to all kinds of understanding.
Even they are all realities, but they can be classified by different subjects, like ayatana or tattu. But they are all dhamma. It's the same way, like satipatthana.
Same dhammas, but different functions.
It depends. For example, why just vinyana jariya and anyana jariya and jnana jariya, see?
In the end, no matter what is taught, the conventional examples used, whatever the examples, the similes and all that, there is some reality that can be related to.
Depending on the individual's understanding.
So even if one's talking in the context of Satipatthana, like in the Satipatthana Sutta, then even so it depends on the individuals or the degrees of understanding, what
and
level
that
of understanding.
Very moment too.
Yeah. And every level of understanding is included, not just Satipatthana.
Yeah.
But then people would argue that the levels of understanding would be the difference between knowing Nama and Rupa and knowing your bodily posture and stuff like that.
Of knowing a bodily posture is not any understanding.
Yes.
So that's not included.
We can use the term knowing. So knowing what? See?
Yes.
Or knowing nothing.
And one can still know, oh, okay, we're sitting or we're standing, but it depends whether there's understanding or ignorance when we think like this.
Well, posture is just thinking, no matter the arahata or the worldling. Posture will always be
that there can
concept.
Be understanding while thinking about posture, or ignorance while thinking about it too. There can be understanding of realities even while one's thinking about posture.
The difference is some don't believe that knowing posture leads to knowing nama and rupa. Some think that it is connected, that the development of sati is first from knowing posture and moving slowly and stuff like that to knowing this thing, whereas the right understanding would be that posture is a concept.
So I think that the better thing is to help them to understand clearly what each word means. for example, Dhamma and Paramatha Dhamma or Bhavana, the development of insight or understanding, and to help them to understand their own purpose too of listening, the teachings.